All right, on this Saturday afternoon, beautiful day for baseball, we bring in Susan Slusser of the Chronicle. Susan, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Very good. I'm just happy to have you on with us today. Before we get into the baseball, something very dear to you and I, the news came out just the other day about Ray Fosse fighting cancer. And this is just too much of this stuff with Elliot Schwartz and Dwayne Kuiper and now Ray, who's very close to you and I. So I just want to give you a chance to send your best to him and me too. My love and prayers go to Ray and Carol and the family.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had no idea that he was dealing with this. He's a very private person, which I've always respected and admired. My heart really goes out to him. I understand why people are private about any health stuff they're going through, but I kind of wish I'd known, you know? Like, you want to be as much support as you can be to somebody that you care about, but few people have meant as much to that organization for as long as Ray Fosse has. And I mentioned the other day on Twitter, it's a club that doesn't necessarily get the national profile that it deserves, and he's been probably the mm-hmm. biggest voice for the longest time for a really, really good team and a really good organization that he's given his life to. He's so fiercely loyal. Just from the job standpoint, I think I've learned more about baseball from Ray Fosse than anybody else over the course of my life. He's got that knack that Tim McCarver had where he can tell you what's going to happen two plays ahead of it. You know, he can set stuff up so far in advance and explain why. And he's right. He's on the money every single time. It's just staggering. The wealth of information and the love he has for that team and for the fans and that fans have for him. I hope he has seen really all the outpouring of love and support that I've seen for him on social media.
Well, me too. And he's a good friend to me. And honestly, I would sit and talk baseball with Ray all the time. So he's battling. He's a tough man, and he's been through a lot in his life, and he's going to make it, but I want to give you a chance, and I'm glad to say something, too, about our dear friend Ray Fosse in a real battle. All right, let's turn to baseball. Susan, I looked at this lineup last night that the Giants are putting out there, and all of a sudden it hit me. You know, when Longoria comes back and maybe Dickerson comes out, who knows what they're going to do. But, Susan, this lineup is formidable right now.
Yeah, it's kind of funny saying that after a night in which they, you know, score one run. But I really liked what Nick Ortiz said last night, which was you could turn this lineup upside down and it would still be a great lineup because you look and, okay, we're discounting the pitcher here. But if you take Logan Webb out of the equation, you got, you know, LaStella, Dickerson, Yaz. That's a pretty good top of a lineup. So, yes, the lineup is much longer. It's much deeper. In the good problems to have category, I guess it's still tough to think that they're probably going to have to option out a couple of their bench guys here in the coming days. Tomorrow, Kevin Gausman is due back from paternity leave. He probably won't actually join them here in Milwaukee. He'll probably join them Tuesday in San Francisco, of course. But he has to go back on the roster. So that's probably one guy coming off the bench and probably somebody with options. And then when Longoria comes back, which could be as soon as Tuesday. So obviously it's an enormous plus to have back somebody like Evan Longoria, guys that we've seen what LaStella's done, like, you know, Brandon Belt comes back in his second game, hits a home run, Yastrzemski back in the lineup after being banged up. It's a great lineup, but yeah, it does mean that we probably don't see Tyro Estrada or maybe somebody like Austin Slater or Steven Duggar for, you know, until maybe September, or they'll come and go. You know, I think these are guys that the Giants are so good at using the smaller moves when needed to kind of mix and match. And I think they'll keep doing that. The interesting thing, Marty, is, you know, September this year, it's, you can't call up unlimited guys for September call-ups. It's two guys. So, you know, if you add a catcher, a third catcher, and a pitcher, which is pretty standard, you know, when do you bring some of these guys back? Or do you just go with the two catchers who've both been getting an awful lot of use? I don't know. That's going to be very tricky. But they're smart. They will figure it out.
Yeah, they've done it all year long with the moves. And he had four pinch hitters last night, and he still had three people on the bench. But I see a reliever coming up. Maybe Duvall will be back. He's throwing 104 in Sacramento. He's throwing more than the temperature right now, and that's pretty good. I think so. We may see him back up there, but I agree with you on Estrada. He may be the next one out. What'd you take on Chris Bryant now that you got to see him for a week? How do you feel about him?
Oh, man, what a great addition. First of all, it's just wonderful to see somebody who is so absolutely thrilled to be with a new team. You've seen lots of guys, Marty, come over in midseason trades, and it's a mixed bag. You know, a lot of guys will say the right thing, but it's hard to come to a new club, right, and you know, leave your lifetime organization the way Chris has. And he genuinely is so excited. He's the most excited guy I've ever seen in a midseason trade. And he stepped right in. He's contributed, my gosh, in that comeback win at Arizona. You know, he starts one rally and then he ends the game, basically. So he comes off the bench without any problem and gets a single. He does it all. He plays every position. I love it. And he fits in really, really well in that clubhouse. So Tommy La Stella obviously played with Chicago, and he could not rave more about him. Of course, we know Scott Harris knows him well from Chicago. He raves about him. There's just no downside to adding a former National League MVP who's as flexible as he is and as good as he is to your lineup. So the next question is, could this be a long-term thing? And honestly, Marty, I think that it could be. Which
really,
we could be looking at, you know, the kind of a stabilizing kind of force in that lineup and a versatile one for quite some time. He's got the desire to be here, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he could be the heir apparent to Longoria. So you know, he plays a million positions. So Longoria's got another year, and sure, well, that'd be interesting. That would be interesting if that could happen. He made a heck of a defensive play last night. And I'll tell you, the other guy who, and you saw him with the A's last year, La Stella, he made some defensive plays last night that were outstanding. I thought the Giants hit the ball hard. They just hit it right at somebody, and they played good defense. The Brewers tried to kick the game around, and the Giants just couldn't take it.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. But, you know, they faced two really tough starters in the last 2 days. And there can be a little bit of a carryover, right, too. You know, after facing Kelly, who shut them down for eight innings and probably should have stayed in for the night in the last game in Arizona. And then, of course, yesterday with Burns, who does not get enough pub, but he's an all-star. He's having a sensational year. And, I think the at-bats last night were much, much better than what we saw against Merrill Kelly. Really good at-bats. You're right, some very hard contact. But still, you know, that last night was the rare night where they had all those pinch hitters kind of lined up and ready to go, and they didn't do much. That's a credit to Milwaukee's bullpen, too, and we know that's one of the best bullpens around, probably the best bullpen around.
Even with all the COVID going on, they still got it done. The shooter is something else. Let's bring in Bill Lasky. Bill, good afternoon. And I know you've got some thoughts here. And as I said on the open, I think Sanchez is fighting for his 2021 life here. What do you think?
Well, good afternoon, Marty. Good afternoon, Susan. I think it is, Marty. There's some guys coming now. Sean Jelly's up now from AA to AAA. They picked up a couple other pitchers. But I kind of want to highlight something with Susan with Tommy La Stella. Of course, Farhan signed him to a three-year contract. He came out of spring training, wasn't really playing at his best. Now that he's back from IL, what can we expect out of Tommy La Stella? You got to see him a little bit with the Angels and the A's.
Yeah, I love Tommy Stella, watching Tommy La Stella hit. He has great at-bats. He's got a great eye. Typically, you know, makes pitchers work, strikes out very little. His first month with the Giants was such an anomaly because he was striking out more. I think we're going to see more what A-San saw last year from here on. And he seems to really lock in a pennant race, too. He was a really major contributor to the A's playoff push last year and probably their best player in the playoff series against Houston. So I just love him, and he's great hitting anywhere in the lineup. He can play a couple different positions. Defense is not his calling card, right? But we've seen him make two really nice plays each of the last 2 days. Honestly, I don't want to say I was surprised, but I think of him as an offensive guy. And, you know, he made a great diving catch at third 2 days ago, and last night Ian makes a nice diving play at second base. So all around a very good thing to have him back, and he makes the lineup better because he's going to work the other pitcher. Everybody else sees more pitches, and the opposing starter, you would think, winds up coming out of the game a little bit sooner. Hasn't quite worked like that the last 2 days, but certainly LaSalle has done his part with that.
Well, I'll use the word amazed. I was amazed. How about that? Because, you know, the rap on him is he doesn't have a great range, but Susan, he went in the hole last night and took a base hit away. So I'm amazed and very happy. Let's put it that way. Very good. Let's talk Aaron Sanchez for a minute. You know, I did the numbers in the open here, Susan and Bill. And, you know, his numbers are not that bad. Maybe we just expect that blazing fastball that is just not going to be there. He's a smart pitcher. I know it's supposed to be a bullpen game. What do you think is going to happen today? Susan, you first, then Bill.
Yeah, it's hard to, from a pitch count level, I'm not quite sure where he is, right? He threw three innings last week, you know, a few days ago, earlier this week. And you're right, the velocity isn't there. We kept hearing about the showcase in the off season. You know, he hit 98. We haven't seen that from him, even in April. He put up nice numbers for the Giants in April before he got hurt. But we didn't really see, you know, anything more than 92, 93. But you're right, he's a very savvy pitcher. He knows what he's doing. He can locate. He got in trouble the other night, didn't actually look particularly good, but got out of it without giving up any runs because he does know what he's doing. My one concern is he's very clearly a starter. He thinks of himself as a starter. He's signed to start. His agent is Scott Boras, who's been very clear that Aaron Sanchez is a starter. This is a Giants team that is super unselfish, and everybody embraces their roles. I have, you know, no indications that Aaron Sanchez is not embracing this role, but I could see where he might chafe a little bit at it. So it's going to be interesting to see what he does with his start. If he's back to where he was in April and then has to go back to the bullpen, you know, I think that's great for the Giants. You hope that having spot starts here and there, and that could be really valuable given the number of innings all the rest of the guys in the rotation have thrown. I think that would be great. But I have some concerns that maybe this isn't going to be something that really thrills him. It's kind of maybe a spot starter sort of role.
You know, Marty and Susan, I think this is the perfect thing that Aaron Sanchez wanted, going through the minor leagues, trying to get better off the IL. He even went down to San Jose and pitched just to lengthen the innings and pitches. And he came up here in a perfect scenario of a long man, and now he's back in a rotation. So he does have a lot to prove today. They signed him on a one-year contract for $4 million, and we all talk about his velocity. It's not anything as they projected. So I'm looking for three pitches out of him today, Marty, 92-mile-an-hour fastball that he pinpoints, the curveball he can spin off a little slower speeds. He changes speeds nice. He's got a light changeup. He's got to get ahead of hitters. That's his key because he does walk hitters. Not a lot, but still. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the track record this year, when he was starting, he was always walking 3-4 and one time 5 guys in Colorado. So that's a concern to me. And he does give up a lot of hard contact. We saw that in Arizona. He threw 3 innings, but a lot of balls were right at guys with some speed on it. So let's just see how he goes out there in the first inning. And that's how we gauge on a little bit of Aaron Sanchez. And let's hope for the best.
Well, you know, I pitched softball for many years. I think I faced Rowdy Tellez. You know, really, he looks like a guy faced at, you know, at Margaret Hayward, you know, playground or Jackson Field. How about this guy, Susan, as a hitter? Man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He has especially with the Brewers, right, he has a little bit of a John Jaha vibe to me.
Yeah.
Remember when Jaha came in with the A's that 1 year and had a really nice season? But, you know, same sort of little roly-poly looking and just has a nose for hitting. And I kind of enjoy watching guys like that hit. And, you know, maybe not so much for the Giants in that situation there. But, man, he gets the bat on the ball that really probably had no – and, oh my gosh, can we talk about Abigail Garcia and how did he hit that homer?
Really?
I get the slider outside breaking the other way. He somehow gets the bat on it and hits it out. So that's a good team. Milwaukee is a good team. And they are only 3 games behind the Giants in the overall standings. It could be a potential playoff preview here. I'm not sure I would want to face the Brewers in the postseason because they've got good starting pitching. They've got a great bullpen. And they have all these guys that just seem to know how to hit no matter how difficult the circumstances.
Well, all I can tell you, Marty, I think once he retires, he will be getting drafted as a softball player.
I'm telling you, I faced this guy.
He's got the body of one.
I'm telling you, I think I faced him. And, you know, I love players like that, and Susan said it. I mean, they bring something to the game. Susan, the guy for Tampa, remember the first baseman, you know, Choi?
Yes, absolutely. Love that guy.
They bring something to the table that's exciting. But go ahead, Bill.
No, all I was going to say, Marty, is he's that type of guy, a free swinger. And he's got some a depth on him. He played over in Toronto and sitting on a bench. What a great find for the Brewers. Never even heard about him. Never even saw his name until I saw it in a lineup. And I did a little research on him. But he does definitely hit the long ball. And I think that's what they're looking at that ballpark. And last night, I mean, that ball that he hit out, that ball is out of the zone that Logan Webb threw away from, just like Susan said. And he got a one hand on and he just got enough out. And that's really not even a mistake for Logan Webb. I thought Webb threw very well yesterday.
Well, it's the old baby Miguel Cabrera, right, Susan? That's what this guy was at Detroit. He was a baby Miggy. Mm-hmm. And then he got to the White Sox, and now he's here, and he's got tremendous power, tremendous power. Mm-hmm. This Logan Webb, Susan, he, you know, Dave Fleming said it on the wrap last night, you cannot have a playoff rotation without this guy being maybe the second pitcher out of the box.
I'm not sure I necessarily go second, but I think he's got to be in it. And it's funny because when I talked to Scott Harris earlier this week about the starting pitching depth, he said one of the reasons that when they looked at the starting pitching market, and obviously the price tags were really big, they were you know, certainly talking to teams. But one of the reasons they did not wind up parting with any major prospects for a starting pitcher was because they felt like, Who are we going to take out of the rotation? We're not going to take Logan Webb and put him in the bullpen. And they didn't want to go to a six-man rotation. So I think they figured, it, largely because of Logan Webb, they're going to go with what they have and hope that they have complete health and that everybody stays relatively fresh. That's why I do think somebody like Aaron Sanchez is going to be important to give guys a little bit of a spell here and there.
Hey, one quick question for you, Susan. The three-headed monster now that Giants have in their bullpen with Leon, Rogers, and McGee, it sure seems like that's the order they're going after if they have the lead or have a close game. Do you see this as a combination going forward and nothing going to be changed?
I do think that they would still sometimes flip McGee and Rogers depending on where they are in the opposing lineup. You know, for obvious reasons, you got the right-handed kind of submarine style guy and you've got the left-hander. But I do think Leon is like a, for sure, kind of the seventh inning setup guy with sort of almost like a, you know, a two-headed closer in the eighth and ninth. It's mostly going to be McGee in the ninth, which, my gosh, he's earned it. He hasn't given up an earned run, I think, since the end of May. So really, really astonishing. And he hasn't given up a hit in quite some time too. I'm knocking on wood here. But yeah, it's been really impressive and, you know, very well recognized for that with the National League Reliever of the Month for last month, but honestly could have won it in June too.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is that if you're in a tie game, I may wait with McGee to the 10th inning. Just in case, and let Garcia pitch the ninth, because McGee's a strikeout guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get into that extra innings. Look, the Dodgers have lost 11 straight. The Giants are 7-6. You need that strikeout. And maybe if you're in a tie game, I'd save him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'll take credit for that. It's not going to happen, but it's just an observation. All right, Susan, always a pleasure having you on.
Thanks,
always
Susan.
Always a pleasure. All right, take care. All right, that's Susan.
Put it in a suggestion box, Marty.
It's a thought. You need.
Oh,
you know,
no doubt. It's a good thought. I mean, because you do need that guy in a 10th inning. You can't have fly ball guys. You can't have contact guys. You have to have that type of arm that you get that first. The first hitter really means everything in that. And you're absolutely right. You need a strikeout guy.
Yeah, and boy, I'll tell you something. You know, sometimes I watch the game day on the MLB app, and it gives the velocity of each pitch.
Right.
And here, you know, here comes McGee. 94, 95, 95, 94, 96, 95, 94. I mean, there's no – this is what's coming, fans.
Yeah.
And just try to hit it, and they don't. because he keeps the ball now in the top of the strike zone, and that's what makes him special.